Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Welcome back to Take Command. He's Logan Paulson. I'm Grant Paulson. Watch us on YouTube, 106.7 The Fan, Team 980. Listen to us wherever you get your audio. Subscribe, rate, review. Please send the pod to a friend or two this week. That would help us. That would be awesome. Let them know that we do this before and after every single game, three episodes a week. Logan, defensively, as we break the tape down, I'm just going to give some numbers, and then you can kind of go into what you saw. It was not pretty. Certainly in the first half, there was a point where they're down 28-0. They give up 31 points in the half for a first time in a couple of years. And Sam Darnold in the game, just three incompletions, four touchdowns. A lot of people will say, oh, they should have tried this, they should have done this. It really did not matter what they were in. I mean, he just picked them apart against man coverage, 8 of 10 for 127 and 3. Against zone coverage, 13 of 14 for over 200 yards and a touchdown. What'd you see?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I don't think the numbers give you an accurate picture of the game. I think those numbers give you exactly what happens. Like when you cut the film on, you're like, you know, it's funny because I remember the broadcast. I take notes while Fletch is talking, and he's like, oh, we need to get into more zone, or we need to get more man. And then you're watching, you're like, okay, they're in zone here, but we can't get any pressure. So Sam Darnold hits this deep dig to Jackson Smith and Jigba. Oh, we're in man coverage, but it's a bunch and we bust it and we can't get any pressure and we get a big explosive play. And it just, I think you, just like we talked about with the receivers, I think you feel the depth issues on the defensive line badly. Like, I think you're feeling some of that, the guys on the edge and some of the guys on the, they can't create a rush with four the way that I think you were hoping at some point this year. And I think people say, oh,
by the way, at the beginning of the year, they were top three in the NFL at generating pass rush with four for the first quarter or so of the season. When you had Armstrong, Kinlaw, Payne, the collection, Wise on the other side is not a great pass rusher, but it's a big body that you got to account for, right? And like, you know, go ahead. Yeah.
Sorry. I think the thing with Wise that I was just wanted to bring up is he wasn't going to win quickly, but the thing he did really well was compress pockets. And so, like, you talk about some of these bigger rushers, like, there's some guys around the league that come to mind that can just, they're not going to create a quick win, but they can push the tackle back. That constriction allows other people to make plays. Like, so there was a play last night where Jacob Martin won on the rush. But the pocket is vast, right? We're not getting enough push, and Sam Darnold's able to step up and flick the ball to the back for a completion. There ends up being a holding on the play. But that type of stuff, the lack of constriction in the pocket, you're starting to feel that too. Because even when guys win, there's too much space. The quarterback has too much space to navigate and kind of get to where he's got to get. So that's got to be, I would imagine, just extremely frustrating for Joe Wood Jr. to deal with, because you can't do what you wanted to do. And I think I don't know if we talked about this with the offense, but I was talking to Fletch about this and Smoot and some other people over the course of the weekend or on yesterday, Monday. And it's, you came in thinking that we were going to be able to play a lot of man coverage and win with five as a rush team. And all of a sudden that dream and that vision is no longer there. So it's going to take a lot of self-reflection and understanding where the roster's at the moment to say, well, what can we do now? Who can we be now? And that's going to be really tough to deal with, you know? And I think that's what I feel the most. And just kind of, when you look at good defenses, so look at Seattle, I think it's a good example. Watching the Bills versus Kansas City, the rush, you know, there are times where you're watching the coverage and guys are open, but the quarterback can't get the ball there. Even with the Commanders against Seattle, I'm like, oh man, this is the throw. But there's a dude literally 6 inches from Jane Daniels' face. He's got to make a Houdini move to get out of there, and he's running for his life. And I'm like, we won that down, but we lost because the rush covered it up in the back end. And I think right now you're not getting any kind of insulation as a coordinator from these guys on the defensive line. And it's not to say that they're not playing hard. It's not to say that they're not doing some good things. Like, you see flashes from Kinlaw, flashes from Payne. I think even Jalen Holmes does some stuff on the edge that I'm like, okay, we can work with this. He's going to help this team out long-term. We mentioned Jacob Martin with an excellent run stop in the third quarter. Like, to start that off, just killing the tackle or the tight end. I forget who it was, but great job by him. It's not consistent enough across the board. And I think that's the thing that's really frustrating. And when you lose guys like Dietrich, who, like, that's their thing on first down, I'm going to kill whoever's in front of me in the run game. And you just lose that consistency. It becomes very, very challenging for the coordinator.
Yeah. Martin had 15 pressures over the last couple of games. So he's doing something right, but they need more, not just from him, but from everyone in terms of getting to the quarterback. Joe Witt is leaving the booth where he normally calls plays from, and he's coming down to the sideline. Dan Quinn announced that yesterday in his Monday press conference. He thinks this is going to be a helpful change and a significant change. What do you make of that?
So I've been on offenses that have done it both ways. And I will say, as a player, I always preferred the coordinator on the sideline. That's personal preference, right? And because if there's an issue, the guy that has created the painting, the guy that has created the symphony of this defense, the vision, the rules, whatever it is there. So if there's a question, it's not phone call, yak, yak, yak with your position coach. It's, I can go directly to you and be like, coach, we have a six technique on this, but he's actually playing out. I don't know if this outside zone run is going to be good. Not that I would ever say that to Kyle, but you get what I'm saying. The communication is immediate, one-to-one. If Kyle has a question, he comes up to me right now and says, hey, Logan, what did he do on that last play? And you say, this is what he did, coach. And he says, great, and walks away. It gives you the immediate feedback of the entire sideline right now. So I know people,
if they're not down there, you're going to someone who's then Motorola headsetting that up to them, essentially.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And so you lose the ability to communicate with that guy a little bit. And again, it's helpful when you're up in the box and you can see the coverages, you can see this. It also gives you a feel for the sideline. Like, what's the energy like? What's the motivation like? What's the morale? Maybe that's the word I'm looking for there. So I do think that there is a lot of benefit to it, and I always appreciated it. So when they said he's coming down, I think there are some things they can do. Like, so for example, when you're walking the sideline, I'm walking by, you know, like the defensive backs, and they're talking to each other about a coverage, and you know, the DB coach comes by and he's talking to them, and then the assistant comes by and they're talking. Imagine if Joe Witt Jr. is in that conversation right now, talking to the guys, seeing their expression, understanding the limitations that they're having in the moment. I think it can be really, really helpful. We'll see what happens. But again, as a player, I always preferred that because the feedback was real time and the emotion of the sideline is real time also.
All right. One more time. I'm going to run upstairs and then we'll finish.
Yeah, you're good.
I feel bad for Evan. He's the one that's going to have to slice
on where it's like, is the team good enough to, you know what I mean? Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. 3, 2, 1. So that context is actually really helpful. And I'll be honest, I was somewhat cynical when I heard this and I'm thinking, yeah. Okay. You're moving them down from the box. Everything's fixed. I actually like what you're selling and saying as a player, like that actually makes a lot of sense. So then someone sitting at home would go, well, why not do this earlier? Or why isn't he down there all the time? So those two very different questions, right? He may have a preference. He may see more up top, whatever, but they have been trying to find answers, and for a month, it's been really, really rough. Like, why not do this 2 weeks ago if it could be a huge boost?
Yeah, I think, you know, there are advantages to being in the box. Like, I'm going to be totally honest. Like, so I'm on the sideline, so this is really an easy way to talk about it. So I'm on the sideline for the broadcast. I can't see anything. Like, I can see, like, whatever is right in front of my eyes, right? But oftentimes I have to ask Fletch or Bram what happened on the play in terms of coverage structure, because I can't see it, right? Or what the formation is. Like, where was that guy? How tight was the split? When you're in the box, you can see it all, right? There's no referral. I can see the personnel. I can have that communication with the guy that's doing the personnel stuff. I can kind of see the position on the field. I can see the hash mark easier. All that stuff is way easier, like mechanically from the box. So when the coordinator's like, I prefer to be in the box, it's because it makes the technical stuff in terms of the things you need to know in terms of calling plays easier. So for example, like if I'm an offensive coordinator, hash mark, yard line, first down, or like what down is it, down and distance, all those things, it's hard. It's really hard to see from the sideline. In the box, it's a cakewalk, right? So it makes it much easier to call from that standpoint, I think. But again, I think the communication is important from the sideline. So to me, if you're taking him out of a situation where he's really comfortable and he can see all those things and, you know, get the calls where he needs to get it, like that's one thing. But I do, again, like I said, I think the communication is important.
And that's what they're prioritizing, obviously. They've talked about communication for weeks. They've talked about, you know, speeding up the play by kind of putting less on everybody's plate. So maybe that's the focus and the emphasis here more than the comfort of some of the things he might see. But I tell you, communication gets that much more important now because, as you said, he's relying upon being told things. Like the only way that this gets better is what you're referencing, which is you're going over there and saying, here's what I'm seeing, here's what they're doing, and expediting that process. So it sounds like you're giving in some areas, you're taking in others, but we'll see if this helps them at all. I'm a big proponent of like calling the team meeting before you play the worst team. I'm a big proponent of like the players only meeting before you're favored by 10 points. They're making a significant adjustment here going into a Lions game against a really Detroit offense with their personnel. So, I mean, if people are going to just watch this game and be like, let's see if the change worked, I don't know if that's the best way to do it.
That's the best marker, right?
He's going to have a better view of Jared Goff and Jahmyr Gibbs, I guess, from the sideline. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think, you know, what's interesting, we'll talk about this on the preview show, like I love the Detroit Lions. I love everything about them, love the mindset. They are not quite as efficient as they've been in years past from an offensive standpoint, and defensively, same thing. I think I'd have to look. PFF does their metrics a little bit different, but they're like 23rd in the league in terms of offensive efficiency, and they have this balloon game where they absolutely murdered the Bears, which is elevating all their statistics. So if you remove that game, they're like a bottom seven offense, which is pretty crazy for them. But again, Jared Goff is dealing and they're still really explosive. I'm not saying that they're, you know, they're going to come in and just roll over for us, but I think that was interesting.
Yeah, very, very interesting. We'll get to that on the preview pod for sure. Their offensive ranking in yards per play is back end top 10, ninth. But I think you're right. If you take that Bears game out of that, I think they're much closer to right smack dab in the middle, even in yards per play this year, which considering
yards per play makes sense because they are explosive as all outdoors. But in terms of like those, some of those efficiency metrics, you're like, this doesn't feel like the Detroit Lions last year, which is the number one offense in the league, obviously.
Totally. Yeah. And I think they've done a good job without Ben Johnson, but you're going to miss him some. All right. We'll get to the Lions later in the week. So continuing to break down the defensive play, though, we talked about the significant injury, broken collarbone of Luke McCaffrey, torn ACL for Marshawn Lattimore out for the rest of the year. You hate this, right? Not only is this a really bad injury and it's tough to come back from and be yourself at that position at that age, but this is also a guy that has been maligned, has been a bit of a punching bag, has been taking heat all year long. And, you know, after all the negativity is now done for the year, it's just a bad situation for everybody. But your thoughts on moving on without Lattimore, who, whatever fans were saying, this was the guy that they had covering half the field and that they felt best about at corner.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of – I know fans are probably not – like, it was – dude, him walking off the field after he tore his knee up was brutal. The way the fans got after him, I love fans, but I think – I feel like they lose so much perspective at times.
I didn't even notice or see or hear about this. He was getting yelled at during that.
Yeah, he was as he's walking off the field. They were on him, and I was just like, "Are you guys for real right now?" Like, you know, this guy's going to locker room because he's banged up. And anyway, that's this conversation for another day. But I'm not a Marshawn Lattimore apologist or anything like that, but I do think people undervalue some of the stuff that he was doing really well, which is playing physical at the line of scrimmage. He tackles well. he just has like this, I'm not going to turn it down mentality, which is really valuable when you're going up against a number one receiver. And now you've lost this element to your defense, and you've got to play Mike Sanders still on the perimeter, Jones on the perimeter, who are much different physically than Marshawn in terms of how they tackle, in terms of how they press, in terms of how they jam receivers. And again, people say he's jamming receivers, he's getting all these PIs. Part of me, I like that he's that aggressive. I like that he's forcing referees to make those calls. And again, is he a perfect player? No. You know, I'm not here to say that he played perfectly this season or he's a top 10 corner or anything like that. But I like the mentality that he brought to the position, and I like the mentality that he brought to the defense. And now you're going to lose that. And so I'm kind of concerned is the wrong word, maybe curious, is how you replace that, the mentality that he was bringing. And I'm not sure there's a good answer to it.
The path forward at corner for me needs to be Sanders still back on the boundary. And I want to get your thoughts on this. Mikey played at a very high level last year, was playing outside. This is kind of like a new rookie year for him, back in a new position.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Position in the nickel. It has not gone quite as well anecdotally, although he does have 3 interceptions now, so he's made plays. He's got 3 of their 5 picks. But, you know, they doubled JSN at one point, and then he was in man and got beat for a touchdown. That's going to happen, but there have been a lot of plays like that this year. Also, getting to see 31, Jones, you know, back out there and playing. I don't know if him on the boundary is better than Sanders still out there. So that's what I would do. What would you do?
Yeah, I don't have a great answer for you. I think, like, playing nickel in the NFL is impossible. I don't know how people do it, to be quite honest with you. It just seems like impossible. Like, the run fit responsibilities, the coverage responsibilities, the grass you got to defend.
Is it the second hardest position to quarterback?
I mean, I think the way teams are attacking it now, maybe. Like, I think I'm always a big believer offensive line's really hard, but I just – it's the way teams attack a nickel, it's got to be close, man. It's definitely – like, people talk about corner being hard. Like, I think I think that's a distant second to playing nickel. So I don't know if I want to move Mikey from the spot because he's got all those reps there. And I think he's doing maybe not a great job, but he's doing a good job, and he's turned the football over. So maybe I want to leave him there and just let him be that guy and put Jones on the perimeter, because I don't want to move 2 spots when I can just move 1, I think is what I'm thinking here. But I'm not at practice. I got to see how they'd be doing and how they're handling the responsibilities and that. Yeah, so really, I don't want to move 2 positions if I don't have to. But if Mikey gives you the best shot on the outside, let's do that and put Jones in at the slot.
They've got Detroit coming up. We're going to do our preview pod. I don't necessarily want to think specifically about them, but just in terms of kind of the 10,000-foot view of this defense, identity right now, like, what are they doing well? What can they kind of lean into to try to fix this? Because numbers wise, it's ugly. And I know people watch the games and they hate what they see, but, like, there's a lot of plays, and you watch out of the tape. I mean, there's got to be things that they're doing at a level that maybe Joe Witt can say, all right, here's home plate for us. Let's get to this more often.
Yeah, I think you see some flashes from guys like Goldman has a TFL. Sheldon Day, I thought, had a really good game, sneaky good game, you know, like, and so getting those guys in on first and second down, guys that are going to do and be where they're supposed to be in run fits, I think that's something I would just say, like, reward that opportunity, you know. And I think they have done some good stuff coverage wise in the back end, but it hasn't come to fruition because we haven't been able to get pressure. So what I would say is, if I was Joe Wood Jr., and again, this is super high level, and there's me saying this is the easy part, the technical execution of it is hard, I would just say, can we clean up the run fits as much as possible? Clean it up. And let's see if we can get into more third downs, where I do think Joe Witt Jr. does a good job creating pressure, even when guys are banged up. Like when we can blitz Frankie, when we can blitz Bobby, we can do some of these different nickel pressures, sim pressures. Like we need to be in third and long more. And so the thing I look at is like, can we be better on first down? And there are times in this game where you see them effectively manage first down, but can we do that more consistently would be my question. Let's lean into the details, I think is what I would say. Let's lean into the details. Let's see if we can get into better positions for the defense. So like in the game, for example, there's a first and 25. That should be a win for the defense, right? But they convert, they end up going down and score. When we get those moments, we have to lock in and make those moments happen. So what I'd say is lean into the details. Let's see if we can uptick our execution on first down a little bit. Let's see if we can just slightly tilt the deck statistically in our favor in a 3rd and 8 or a 3rd and 9. And when it is tilted that way, let's go all in and see if we can make a play.
And it's not an injury, but one more vacancy here at edge. Frankie Louvu is not going to play this week.
That's
he was
crazy.
Suspended one game for 3 hip drop tackles. The league, I guess, has addressed this with him a couple of times. He's been fined. It's a 3 strikes, you're out policy. So after his 3rd hip drop tackle this week, he's going to miss a game. He's now an edge. I mean, they've been playing McGee at linebacker with Bobby Wagner. So it's no Dorrance Armstrong. It's no Dietrich Wise. It's no JJB. And now you've got Louvu basically opposite some version of like Jacob Martin and Von Miller. And now you're out him as well. Plus what he does at the linebacking spot. Huge loss for them, even though it's only one game.
It is only one game, which I guess is good. But when I got that news, I was like, this is the craziest season of all time for this type of stuff. It's got to be. I mean, I haven't covered the team as long as you, but there are more injuries. This is the craziest suspension. This is probably the first one like this year, I would assume. And it's happening against a game, in a game where you got to kind of right the ship, play good football. One of your emotional leaders isn't going to be out there, and you're like, cool. So now all these fans that wanted to see some of these rookie linebackers play, you're going to get that opportunity. And again, like it's going to feel a little bit different not having Frankie out there, but not having Marshawn, not having Frankie, not having Williams, what's his name? The safety that they've got from New Orleans.
Will Harris.
It's getting comical that where you're like, how do you overcome all of these vacancies?
You're an offensive player. I want to go back to the hip drop thing. What do you make of a one-game suspension for those 3 tackles? They say it's as bad a tackle as you can do, and it's violent and leads to injuries, and I'm sure it's something as a player you hated and wanted out of the game. But, man, a one-game suspension. Now, he's had his chances, it sounds like. They've talked to him. He, 3 strikes, you're out. The rules are the rules. Are you surprised that we're at a place in the league where you're talking about suspensions, not for, like, helmet-to-helmet contact, but just, like, kind of jumping and pulling a guy down from behind?
Yeah, I mean, I've been hip drop tackled a few times in my career. A bigger guy, like that's the way that guys chose to get me down. And it is a little scary, but at the time it was like up to you to protect yourself a little bit. It's the runner, So I see some of the, I'm trying to think back, and I went back and watched some of Frankie's tackles last night. And I'm like, maybe they're calling this a hip drop, but he's fighting for his life here to get this guy on the ground. And like, he's got to be aware, like, oh, I can't hip drop this guy. Like he's literally just fighting to get him on the ground. So I don't know. I'm a big player safety advocate. I want parents of young kids to know that the NFL and college and high schools are thinking about their child's safety. I want the sport to continue to grow. But this one's weird. It would have been nice if they were like, hey, Frankie, you've been warned. This is a hip drop tackle. This is a hip drop. So that it doesn't feel so crazy when he gets suspended for a game. Like I think
I'd imagine but we don't know about it in
right?
Because he gets fined. So I'm assuming in that letter in his locker, it says, hey, 1 strike, you got 2 more to play with. Hey, 2 strikes. And the last 2 are the last 2 weeks, apparently. The Chiefs game last week was number 2, and then this one was number 3. What I thought about when I saw that was, I don't want to say I was killing him. I think I'm pretty respectful and understand how hard the game is. But I was, as an analyst, talking about how many tackles he had missed early in the season. Because Frankie Louvu really struggled to tackle at the start of the year. And I'm going, bro, you got to get these guys. This was not a problem last year. And here in his mind, he's missing tackles and now he's making tackles. We said this has gone away. You look at the PFF missed tackle numbers. He's been tackling. So it's like, damned if you do, damned if you don't, in a sense. But I get it. It's got to be clean. They don't want the hip drop tackle. They're evaluating this as, illegal. And so he's suspended. But that was the first thing I went to, is like, here I was saying, dude, you got to tackle people, and now he's getting suspended for tackling people.
I think you kind of hit on something really, really kind of funny there, something nice there, is everyone was getting on him for not wrapping up, and now he's wrapping up, and he's finishing tackles, and he's getting this is a byproduct of that, I think, to a certain extent. So I don't know. I feel bad for Frankie. You know, I think he's been playing better. I think he's been playing well, actually. So it's tough that he's not going to be here against Detroit.
Logan Paulson, Grant Paulson, before and after every Commanders game. We do our film review looking back after Logan watches the tape. Then we do our film review looking ahead to the opponent. And then as soon as the game ends, we give you a live YouTube episode. So make sure you come back for that on game days, including this Sunday after Detroit. Logan, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention your shirt. I can't quite see it all, so you got to pull it down for me. But it seems like very nerdy, possibly. It says, you matter unless you multiply yourself by the speed of light, then you energy. So that's
you want to go ahead and work that one out for me?
What does that mean?
MC squared. So energy equals mass times C, which is the speed of light squared. And that's that Albert Einstein guy came up with that. So, you know, like, so obviously when you are matter, unless you multiply yourself by C, which is the speed of light, and then you become energy. You got it?
Clearly. I mean, clear. Where do I get one of those shirts? Well, I'm sure there's a long line of people trying to get their hands on.
Remember, my old man is literally a rocket scientist who graduated from MIT with a doctor, with almost a damn near a doctorate in mathematics. So this is the type of shirt my dad will get you, just to make sure that you're still locked in on what old Albert Einstein was talking about for a little bit, you know?
Is that a gift from Papa Paulson?
Yeah. Well, probably my mom. You know what I'm saying? Like, mom buys the gift, you know.
That's incredible. Yeah. If you got any more of those laying around, send it my way. Yeah. Can you imagine going to your dad as a rocket scientist and telling him you want to go bang heads with people at the line of scrimmage in the National Football League?
There are times where I think I've done this bit before, but like my dad is a rocket scientist. My uncle, who just recently passed away, was a lawyer. My aunt was a congresswoman in Boston. My mom's dad was a doctor who graduated from Harvard. So like, I'm kind of this like knuckle dragon. When we go to these family gatherings, it's not like, oh my gosh, look at this bright young lad. It's like, this is the one that chose to brutalize his body for 10 years in the NFL.
It's wild. All right, take command every single week. Come on back. Keep on enjoying the show. We'll be here for you, breaking it all down. Win, lose, or draw the rest of the year. Big thanks to our producer, Evan, who had his work cut out for him today. And for Logan, I'm Grant, saying so long.
State Senator Jennifer Carroll Foy here, asking you to vote for my friend, Ghazala Hashmi, for Lieutenant Governor. She's a lifelong educator who's fought to expand job training. And Ghazala wrote the bill protecting Medicaid from Trump and MAGA extremists. Join me in voting for Ghazala Hashmi for Lieutenant Governor and Democrats up and down the ballot. Paid for by Workers Vote. 212-265-7000. Not authorized by any federal candidate or federal candidates committee. Workers Vote is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.